Have you ever wondered why some people don't want to belong to a church? In your own community, is it true that you've got some people just don't want to belong to the church? Not only do they not want to belong to the church, but some people don't even go to church, and they're good people. Have you got maybe in your family, do you have somebody that actually is a believer and believes in God, may even be a man who reads the Bible, and may even be a person who prays, but he doesn't want to belong to the church? Now, on the other hand, are you fortunate enough, and some of you who are listening to me, do you happen to have the kind of churches people want to belong to? You know, it makes a difference. Have you ever wondered why it is that in some cases people will come to some churches and they just feel like they wish they could move their membership and join that church? In other cases, people don't want to belong to a certain church, and even if they belong to it, they wish they were somewhere else. Well, you know, I wouldn't say that this is true for everybody, but there's a good deal in the way in which the church handles itself as to what happens. And we see this in the book of Acts. In the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, we have just been noticing about what happened in the early church when there was sin in the church. They had a couple by the name of Ananias and Sapphira who lied. They pretended they did something when they didn't do it. And Peter openly exposed their sin and repudiated it. Now, they were rich folks. And they were people who were generous. They actually brought money and gave it to the poor, but they lied. And Peter stopped them, as it were, in their tracks. And he wouldn't accept their lie. He indicated that that was a sin, and a sin in the sight of God, and a sin against the Holy Spirit. And Peter, acting in the name of the church, exposed these people, with the result that these people died as a shock because of what had happened. And this got around in the community. Everybody got to hear about it. I'm sure they heard not only that Ananias died and Sapphira died, but I'm satisfied they heard that Peter had challenged them with what they had done. It was revealed that they had actually lied in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And the effect of this was, as we read here in chapter 5, verse 11, "Great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. They were deeply impressed." Then in verse 12, this is chapter 5, verse 12, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people." They were effective. The whole tone of the church was made effective in what they were doing. And then here is a parenthesis. "And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, and of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women." Apparently, these Christians gathered together in a certain section of the temple compound called Solomon's Porch. Nobody else dared go over and join them because they were playing it so real. They were doing these things just exactly as they meant it. And the hypocrites were scared off, so to speak, so that there were a good many people who weren't genuinely sincere. They didn't dare join that crowd because that crowd acted as if they were really meant business. But the people magnified them, meaning the common people in the community greatly appreciated the church that had been honest about sin in its membership. And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. It was a powerfully effective thing. You'd think a negative thing like judging sin, when you're actually repudiating something wrong, when you get up and expose somebody in the church as having lied, you'd think that that would discourage people. But it doesn't. Actually, it brings many, many people to the church because there's an honesty about it, an integrity about it. And we read here, "Multitudes were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them." Now, you and I will recognize right away that this is a good deal of public excitement. And no doubt these people were greatly moved in their feelings. I am not interested in pressing that point. What I am interested in doing is this. There was an effect upon them. I want you to notice that that early church actually affected the community. Peter, who was the representative of the early church, became a very important man in the community because it was in everybody's mind that if they could get his favor, they'd be benefited. insomuch that they brought out the sick into the streets, laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. What you've got here is a great response on the part of the public and great power on the part of the church. And this all resulted from honesty, sincerity, integrity, the repudiation of anything like hypocrisy, the condemnation of that which is wrong in its integrity before the God and before God and before the people. And when the church did this and condemned the sin of deceit and of pretense and hypocrisy, these results followed. Somehow or other, that impresses me more and more and over and over and over again. And I am so much struck by this, that believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Because I know people would want Christians want other people to join the church. And so here we have a very definite clue. If you want people in the community to be affected, and you want them to come near your church, there has to be a certain honesty in the whole procedure, a certain element of integrity all the way through. And if there is, the people will be affected, and they will actually come. There was a general sense of confidence in the neighborhood as a whole when the church judged sin in its members. People were greatly impressed, and many sick people were cured. Now, of course, this did again here what it had done before. It made such an impression on the community that there were people who took objection. And that's what we read when we go on in chapter 5, verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is of the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. They were objected to it. I know that you'll almost feel in yourself that you don't see how a thing like that can be. How could anybody object to something being done on behalf of other people? Well, I'm not sure I can give you all the reasons why, but I want to tell you it does happen. And it happens right around so far as the church is concerned. If you have a church that becomes active, and you have a church that becomes effectual, the people are actually one to the Lord, you will find there are other churches in the community who resent it. And this is what happened here. There was an opposition to constructive performance, as it were. And we read that the high priest and all they that were with him were filled with indignation. Well, that's one way of saying it, but I think what that actually means when you read it in its context would be like this. They were filled or aroused with resentment. Indignation, nobody had hurt them, but they resented it. And they laid hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Laying hands on them as they arrested them, and put them in jail, treated them like common criminals. And again, I could say to you, you'd wonder, and you'd say to yourself, what did they say they did wrong? Disturbing the peace? They're just bothering things? And they put them in the common prison. Now in verse 19 comes a strange thing. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. This is an astonishing statement. I can't go into it at any very great length. I will tell you, however, and remind you that so far as the word angel is concerned, there's no description of this being. We do not know what he looked like. We do not know whether he came in the form of man and had this done, or whether it was done otherwise than human. We can't say. But the angel of the Lord, by night, opened the prison doors and brought them forth, and said, go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. There was this miraculous release from this limitation that had been imposed upon them, because they'd put them in prison, as it were, shut them up. But they were miraculously released, and this is what they're told. Go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. I want you to notice that that release was not for personal benefit. When they were released from prison, they weren't told, now you slip away and hide and don't get caught like this again. They weren't told that. They weren't told, be sure that you change what you're saying so that the next time people won't take offense. They weren't told that. This release, when it was worked out for them, was not for personal benefit, but to further the gospel. Go, stand, and speak, just like you've been doing, but carry it on out. Now in verses 21 to 26, you will see that there was persistent opposition. The opposition against them wouldn't give up. And in verse 21 we read, when they heard that, they entered into the temple, that is the disciples, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent them to prison to have them brought. Now the disciples were in the temple teaching, but the high priest sent to the jail to bring these men that had been put there the night before. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they reported and said, the prison truly we found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. I read that out in detail so that you could just feel it exactly the way in which it is. There isn't any chance to miss this statement as it is. You and I just have to stand back and look at it. These men had been put in prison. The prison doors had been locked. They were left there overnight. And when the jailer came in the morning to get them, they weren't there. Now, that's the whole story. And that is the story that's told. And they were told to go and stand in the temple. So they were in the temple preaching and teaching. And the officers came to arrest them and came along to get them and found that they were gone. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to us, so far as we are concerned, that thou wilt keep us faithful to thee. And we pray thee, Father, that thou wilt make it so that we will be clear in what we let the people know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us keep it always honestly before people, that those who believe in him may be spared, that they will be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that when we face opposition to this message, we may be given quiet patience to go on with our testimony, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. For his name's sake we ask it. Amen.